Now it's time for Changing Australia, and our guest this morning is a single mother of five kids, Fee Shoering, and she had no intention of becoming a tradie, but in the 1990s she met her second husband and started working with him in his paint business. This led to qualifications as a tradeswoman and a teacher and the realisation that there are so few women among her ranks. So she set about building pathways for others, creating connections and changing perceptions of women in trades. Fee created the group Supporting and Linking Tradeswomen, or SALT, and she's my guest this morning on Changing Australia. Fee, welcome to Radio National Breakfast.
Thanks, Mel.
Now, tell me, growing up, what was your sense of women in trades? Is that something you saw when you were growing up as a mum? Did you come across women in trades roles?
No, not at all. It definitely wasn't on my radar. But I was always very handy, you know, like from when I was a very small child, I was always making things. So, and I was actually dyslexic. So not that it stopped me from doing things. I found ways around that. But I was just always very hands-on, and I had a stepfather who was, he was actually a doctor, but he was incredibly practical as well. And I used to watch him do things.
So tell me how you then got into a trade later in life.
Well, I met my second husband, Pete, and he went from being a single guy living in Des Moines to, you know, supporting seven of us. And he said, I need some help. And he had employed a female labourer in the past, so he didn't have any hang-ups around gender, you know, and what people could or couldn't do. And so he said, come and work with me. So he said to me, you know, you've got to wear your whites, which is what painters wore in those days. You've got to tie your hair back, and don't call me darling and don't kiss me.
So tell me about the progress from there. How did you find the work? How often would you come across another female tradie as you were going about the job?
I virtually never saw any other, I didn't see any other female tradies at all when I was on site. I fell into the work easily. It just suited my abilities. You know, I was very comfortable doing the hands-on work. I like physical work. I enjoy being physical. So it didn't, you know, it wasn't a problem for me. I didn't mind getting dirty. You can always have a shower at the end of the day, which I did. And I didn't find anything difficult about it. It's heavy work, it's hard work, it's physical. But I adapted to it and, you know, enjoyed the work.
You later started teaching painting and decorating at TAFE. What did that work teach you about some of the barriers that keep women from getting into trades?
Well, it was whilst I was there that I started working with a group, a department that doesn't exist now called Outreach, who, and their main focus was to try and bring women back into education or into the workplace. A lot of the women that came in had had children and had been away from the workplace for quite a few years, so they had a lack of confidence in what they were able to do. And so the course was just worked, it was designed as a way of getting them in, really. But I landed up, the first course, I had 18 students and 18 students finished, and that was seen as extraordinary at the time. And I discovered a whole wealth of women who really wanted to go on into the trade, who were really keen to do it. And some of those women did go on. It was a bit of a battle to get them in because the higher echelons were kind of like, no, you know, they've got to have apprenticeships and things. But I did some research, and there was nothing in writing that said you had to have an apprenticeship. And certainly other men were going into the trade, say, in night courses and things like that. So I did manage, with the help of some others, to get them in. And they continued on and became great painters and decorators.
So in 2009, you started SALT, Supporting and Linking Tradeswomen. What was your vision for SALT?
I'd written some papers, I'd written a booklet of women's stories, and everybody had gone, that's nice, and then nothing. So I kind of thought, well, bugger that. I want to do something that's actually going to make a difference. And so with one of the other founding members, Di Buttonshaw, who's a sign writer, she and I put our heads together, and I'd done a lot of research before I started SALT. And one of the things I discovered is over 50% of the women that I'd interviewed had been taught how to use tools between the ages of 5 and 12, which used to be how boys were taught too, you know, by family members, fathers, uncles, grandfathers, whoever taught them. And so that seemed to be a crucial factor in women considering that they could go into the trades. So that was the starting point. And we sort of just wanted to teach as many women and girls as we possibly could the very, very basic tool use. And we had a trailer built, and the goal was to reach as many as women and children as we could. So we set out, and I kept pushing and managed to get people that supported us, and we got there, and we landed up going all around Australia, and they're still going.
Extraordinary. You're listening to Changing Australia on Radio National Breakfast, and I'm talking with Fee Shuring, an advocate for women in trades. Look, we still have an issue with women dropping out of apprenticeships, if that is the way they are looking to enter a trade, or once they're in trades, even still leaving the sector. We spoke recently with the founder of Build Like a Girl, Jo Farrell, and talked about the sexism and bullying that's still present in construction. Yeah. How do you think we need to address that?
Well, the trouble is, yes, it is a big problem in construction, and construction isn't the only trade area. There are many trade areas. I think people don't realise that. When they think of trades, they just think of construction, but it's actually much broader than that. But harassment and bullying is systemic in society. It's not just a problem of construction. It is a big problem there. But it's also in schools. It's in other workplaces. It's in our homes. It's in social clubs. And it's on social media. So it is systemic. And that's really, it's a bigger picture that needs dressing, not just in construction.
For younger women, I mean, you talked there about, getting some familiarity and getting comfortable with tools earlier in life. Do you think that's a key to trades being accessible to young women, that they even think about it and consider it as an option for them?
Definitely, definitely. We had women that did our very simple, basic course and who went on to go into the trades because most people that have never used tools, and I include anybody else, not just women in this scenario, they're afraid of them, as you tend to be, of something that you don't know and that makes a lot of noise and that can hurt you. You know, there is risks with power tools, which do have to be taken into account. So teaching people how to use tools safely, how to look for risks, how to take care of themselves and how to do things for themselves is a very important factor. And SALT now teaches all genders and is still going and is currently in Western Australia doing the work that I started.
And you've retired from SALT in the last couple of years, but I understand you're writing a book about tradeswomen in history. Tell me about that. What can history tell us about where we are now and what we might experience in the future?
Well, I've actually done a bit of research. I've always been interested in the Industrial Revolution ever since I was a child, actually, and funny enough. And one of the things that I've worked out is that what happens in history can have tentacles that can sort of really weave their way through to current times, and people don't actually realise it. Like in medieval times, women were commonly in apprenticeships and had trades. It was quite normal. And throughout time, there have been, in those times, women and children were one of the major work forces that the mills and the mines and places like that used. Not in a good way, I have to say. But then men took over, and when women came into the trades in more recent times, so for instance in the Second World War, the reason why they came in a little bit later in Australia was purely an argument about the fact that they didn't want to pay them the same rate as the men. So things like that, it's like QWERTY it was originally designed for a typewriter to stop the keys from jamming. And now we're also used to QWERTY, that it's actually very hard to not use a QWERTY, you know, keyboard. And that's an example, a small example of how those tentacles can sort of follow through in history and cause us to have views of things such as gendering jobs, because jobs do not have a gender.
I think that's an excellent way to summarise what you've been trying to tackle and give us a broader view there. Fee Shearing, thanks so much for speaking to me on Changing Australia this morning.
Pleasure, Mel. Thank you.
That's Fee Shearing, the creator and former president of SALT, or Supporting and Linking Tradeswomen. She's been a really fascinating insight there into both what women are currently facing and some of those historical links and how to look at how we focus on issues in the past and how they can still have tentacles in how we deal with them today. That's Fee Shearing.